Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to email us and let us know what God is currently doing in your life. Or if you'd like to support the ministry financially, you can do so here on our website. Right now, you're about to listen to a message from our current series. Thanks for tuning in today.
He started a series here a couple Wednesdays ago on the Beatitudes. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, so you can go ahead and go there, and we'll spend the majority of our time there tonight. But again, he went over the first two, the last two Wednesdays, so I'm going to cover the third one on meekness. And once again, you know, when I looked at the word meekness, it rhymes with weakness, so I'm like, this doesn't like look any fun. But once again, you know, you get into the Word of God, and there's just layers in there of truth, and when you really find out what meekness means, you know, it's really the opposite. It's strength. It's strength under control, which we'll talk about here. But, you know, I want to kind of back into the Beatitudes and give you a kind of a 10,000-foot view before we get into it and get started. Now, the Beatitudes are basically the first 12 verses of the Sermon on the Mount. And so this was probably Jesus' most important sermon that he preached. Now, I know we talked about the parable of the sower for a few weeks and talked about how important that parable was. But again, sermon-wise, this was it. So again, we want to pay attention to what it is that he says here. So again, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to read through all of it. I'm going to start in verse 1. But it says this, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him." Verse 2, it says that, "Then he opened his mouth, and he taught them." So here's what we know. You know, Pastor Mike always talks about you need to read the scriptures in context. So who's speaking? Who's being spoken to? Who are the listeners and so forth? So he hasn't said anything yet. And obviously, this is Matthew. It's him viewing this situation, and it's his, you know, connotation, like how he wrote out what he witnessed and what he saw. That's what we're reading here. But again, Jesus is going to be doing the speaking as we get into the Beatitudes tonight. But even more importantly, like it's who's being spoken to. So, you know, I would imagine it like this. So you've got all these crowds that are following Jesus around, and he goes up to this mountain, but it says the disciples, that they actually came to him. So they're probably in the front, and so he's actually teaching his disciples, but I would imagine the crowds are behind the disciples, and they're kind of listening in to what it is that Jesus is teaching the disciples. So if you imagine that, if you put yourself into these stories, that's kind of what's going on here. So again, you know, pretend I'm Jesus and you're the disciples, and then the crowds are out there listening. Amen? And, you know, again, I'm not Jesus, but let's just pretend that for a little while. But in the crowd, you had all these different groups of people. You had the religious Jews, the people that were actually practicing Judaism. You probably had some backslidden Jews that weren't practicing anymore. So you've got these various groups. You've got some Greek people there, probably some Roman soldiers, because again, anytime there's crowds there, the Roman soldiers, they were like the police. So they're probably there policing this, you know, making sure nothing bad is going to happen. So you have all these different groups of people, you know, that are listening to it. And so why the crowds? Well, obviously word spreads fast when somebody is healing people, when he's delivering people of demonic, you know, forces and so forth, and all of these miracles are going on. Word travels very fast, and again, it attracts the crowds, amen? You know, the word goes forth, Jesus goes forth, and that word is confirmed with signs and wonders, amen? And that's kind of what's going on here. And it's kind of like in here tonight, you know, we're reading and listening to this from different backgrounds. You know, some people are like my wife, where she grew up, she didn't have a church background. You know, she didn't grow up in a Christian household. So when she first started coming to church, she's hearing, you know, through those ears with her background and example, she's seeing through the lens, you know, that she's used to. Or maybe you have a background like me. I was a Lutheran boy, so you grew up in a denominational type structure. You know, maybe it was Catholicism or you know, Methodist, or all these different denominations. Again, when you're reading this or when you're listening, you're hearing from those different bents with what you've been taught in the past and so forth. And some of this, sometimes it kind of, you know, it makes you question your mindset and your thinking. Amen? So again, we've got this wide variety of people out here that all different backgrounds, but again, Jesus and the Word of God is the one thing that brings us all together. Amen? So again, Matthew 5, read through 1 and 2 again, and as we go through this, it says, "Seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. When he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And again, Pastor Mike, he covered those two the last 2 weeks. So if you missed that, go back and re-listen to those to catch up and really grasp what God is speaking to the body of Christ here right now. Verse 5, it says, blessed are the meek, which is what we'll talk about tonight, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Verse 10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And finally, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And you know, again, this is pretty contrary thinking. Like blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely, like you're blessed because of that. Again, it doesn't make a lot of sense when you read it at face value, so that's why we'll dig in here. And again, before we get in, I want to explain four ways that you can understand these Beatitudes. And I got this out of the Life Application Bible. You know, when I talk with Pastor Vicky, she's always about like how does this apply? You know, teach the Word of God, but what's the life application? You know, for 2022, how can a person take this Word, apply it to their life, and go out and do this Word? So again, this is out of the Application Bible. The first way to understand the Beatitudes, or one way, you know, there's not just one only way, but again, out of these four, the first way is that they're a standard of conduct for all believers. You know, it's maybe said like this, what we should be like as Christ followers. So if we're Christians, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, what's the standard of conduct? You know, how should we act and operate and so forth? How should we live? How should we treat people? And again, like I just read or just said, this is contrary to what is normal. It's definitely contrary to what the world teaches and what the world, you know, has to say about this. You know, like he talked last week, blessed are those who mourn. So are you blessed for mourning? No, really the blessing is this, is that, you know, when you are mourning, that the God of peace, just like these folks in Texas, the God of peace will come into your life and he'll, you know, he'll help you weather that storm and walk through that to the other side, amen? And the blessing is in that we serve a God, you know, that is active in our lives. He's real and living, and again, he comes into our lives and you know, he's concerned about every aspect of our lives. So that's where the blessing comes in for those who mourn. Number two, the second way you can understand this is that they contrast the kingdom values versus the world values. Now, kingdom values, they're eternal. They live on forever. Where worldly values, they're just simply temporal. They're in the here and now. And so values, what does that mean? In business, we would teach on or we would have core values. So in the gym, you know, my main core value, so, you know, I own the gym, so I wrote these core values out, and then I would hire or surround myself with people that you know, had these same core values. And if they didn't have the same core values, then, you know, we weren't going to be able to move the ball down the field real well, amen? So the core values, a couple of them were like this. Number one, it was personal responsibility. That was my number one core value because of what I had went through, you know, personal responsibility. We're at where we're at because of the choices and decisions that we've made up to this point. We have to be willing to hold the mirror up to our lives. And so in the gym, if we're sitting here asking our clients, you know, to take personal responsibility for their lives, we better be leading by example. So personal responsibility was a huge one. Another one was being a lifelong learner. And you know, coming from me, like after college, I swore I would never read another book. Amen. Because I thought they were all textbooks and things like that. I didn't know that, you know, the Word of God would speak to you. I didn't know there was personal growth and development books and things. I didn't even know that stuff was out there. But once I found it, I just was like a sponge for it. So again, you know, the people that I worked with, like Trav back there, I remember, you know, when he came in and he started in sales, you know, he was good at sales, but, you know, he because he was a lifelong learner, I didn't teach him everything. I remember he found one video. He used to sell, we had this cleanse system, and back then it was probably around $29, and he could sell cleanses like crazy. But I'm like, Trav, you're not going to build a big business doing $30 at a time here. And so he found this video where it was a guy talking through, you know, how to sell, you know, pretty much our whole 24-day challenge system. And I remember asking him one time, because his sales just completely turned around, you know, because he basically took the words that this guy taught and made them his own. And he said, you know, I've watched it about 50 times. I said, I said, 50 or 15? He goes, no, over 50, 50. And so you think about that. He had the core value. He valued learning and continuing to grow. Amen? And that's what took him from being a good salesman to being a world-class salesman. Amen? Does that make sense? So again, you know, we're looking at the values of Jesus Christ, of the kingdom of God here. And you know, I think of Faith Family Church. You know, the values that we have, it doesn't take long to figure out when you walk in the atrium and you walk in here that excellence is a real high core value in here. Pastor Vicky, her excellence in decorating and Angie, you know, her daughter's got that same excellence in there. You know, again, that's a core value. The name, Faith Family Church. You're going to hear about faith here, how to have faith for finances, faith for healing, you know, faith for salvation and deliverance, faith for all these things. If you don't like hearing about faith, this probably isn't the best place for you because, again, that's a main core value here. You're going to hear about family and building and strengthening the family unit. Amen? Faith, family, and then church, the final thing. We come together as the body of Christ, as the church. That's a huge core value here, faith, family, church, the word of God is preached here, all of that stuff, that's what we value here. And again, what does that have to do with anything? The core values of the kingdom of God is one way that Jesus taught the Beatitudes here. He said, these are the core values. Again, it's not just how we act, but it's who we are at our core. This is what is in our DNA. You know, in the DNA of a Christian, we should welcome the poor in spirit. We should comfort those who mourn. We should esteem the meek, hunger for justice, extend mercy, have a pure heart, be peacemakers, and endure persecution. That should be our core values. Amen. So when we read this, it's asking you in your own life as we're going through these, how am I doing with each of these values, or do I need to adjust some things? Amen. The third way we can read it is again, contrasting the superficial faith that the Pharisees had versus the supernatural relationship that we're to have with Jesus Christ. And, you know, we know what Jesus said about the Pharisees, that they were religious outwardly, but inwardly they were hypocrites. They were greedy, self-indulgent, and hard-hearted. John the Baptist, he called him a brood of vipers. Amen? So again, that's contrasting that religion versus having a relationship, and the Beatitudes do that as well. When we read these, we see, you know, what is actually at the heart of this. And then the fourth and final way you can understand this is realizing that they can't be cherry-picked, meaning you can't pick the ones you like and leave the ones you don't like. They've got to be taken as a whole, because I'd probably leave meekness on the front end. I'd just say, hey, we'll kind of breeze over that, maybe call it something else, because again, it rhymes with weakness, even though it has nothing to do with that. So blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So let's talk about this word blessed just before we get into the word meekness here. So in this context, the word blessed means this. And in Matthew 5:5 in the Amplified, it kind of expounds on this. It says, blessed or inwardly peaceful, spiritually secure, or worthy of respect. Isn't that what we want to be? Inwardly peaceful, spiritually secure, be grounded, and be worthy of respect. We want to be worthy of respect when we're out in our family life and in our business dealings and our workplace. Again, that's a blessed person. Okay, so he says, blessed are the gentle, or another word for that is meek. And it explains that the kind-hearted, sweet-spirited, the self-controlled, for they will inherit the earth. We can say this another way. It says, if you are meek or gentle, meaning kind-hearted, sweet-spirited, and self-controlled, if you are meek or gentle, then you will be inwardly peaceful, spiritually secure, and worthy of respect. You'll be blessed, amen? So the meek person will be blessed. And who wants to be blessed in here tonight, amen? So we want to find out what this word meek means. But in the Amplified Classic, it expounds it a little bit more. It says, blessed is happy or blithesome. Who uses that word? It's actually the word cheerful, joyous, spiritually prosperous, with life joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of the outward circumstances. So regardless of all the things that are going on around you, you can have this happy, cheerful, joyous, spiritually prosperous attitude. Amen? And those are the meek. They're the mild, the patient, the long-suffering. Again, those type of people will inherit the earth. So again, that's what we want to find out here tonight. What is this thing called meekness? Because we want to be blessed. We want to be where, when everything around us can be in chaos, but yet we're grounded. Amen? As he talks at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, you know, the wise person is likened to the man that builds his house on the strong foundation. So when the adversities and the storms of life come, that house stands because it's built on the firm foundation of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. So meekness, it's one of the nine fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, you don't have to turn there, listen along. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance or self-control. Against such, there is no law. So again, if you're walking in this, there's no law. You don't have to worry about the law. You know, you're so close to God because his Spirit is in you, and you're walking in love and joy and peace and meekness that you don't have to worry about the law. You don't have to worry about finding yourself outside of God's will in your life. But here's the deal with fruit. It's got to be developed, right? And that takes time. You know, first, if you've got an apple tree, you plant the seed in the ground, and then, you know, you're watering that thing and fertilizing it, and eventually that seed comes forth, and it brings the seedling brings forth, you know, first the blade, then the ear, then the full kernel in the ear, right? It takes time, but eventually, if you nurture that thing, you're going to be able to walk through an orchard of your life, and you're going to be able to pick the fruit that's on there, and that's how we want our lives to be. People around us should be able to pick the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God off of our lives. Amen. That's how it should be. Because again, his DNA is in here. His core values of the kingdom of God are in each and every one of us. Let's get to this word specifically, meekness. The dictionary definition, it says this. It says mild of temper, not easily provoked or irritated, and yielding. That word yielding is also submissive. So you think about a yield sign. You pull up to a street and you've got the yield and the other person's got the right of way. You've got to submit or you've got to yield to that other person. Again, mild of temper, not easily provoked or irritated. I know there's nobody in here like that. We'll just speak online. Mildly, right? Mild of temper, not easily provoked or irritated, because again, there's nobody in the room that's like that whatsoever. Matthew 11:29, this is what it said about Jesus and meekness. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. So one of the attributes of Jesus is that he's meek. Right, he's mild of temper, he's not easily provoked or irritated, and he's willing to submit. Who's he submitting to? To his Father, amen? And he's our example. And we're supposed to be doing the same thing. We're submitting to the Word of God. We're submitting to our Heavenly Father too, amen? And the awesome thing is the rest that Jesus promises, it's peace with God. And it's not the end of all effort. That doesn't mean, you know, in Hebrews it talks about we labor to enter into God's rest, which again, it sounds contradictory. Like we're working to enter into God's rest. There is a labor that comes with that. Amen? But you know, we are resting in that. What's he say? Again, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And you think about a yoke. You know, I don't know if you've heard this story before or not, but you know, if you take one oxen, he can pull around 3,000 pounds by himself. But if you put a team of oxen together that are trained together, you know, you would think two would be able to pull 6,000 pounds, but actually two trained oxen can pull anywhere from 12 to 15,000 pounds. And you think about that because, see, they're yoked together and they're trained to walk together. And that's how it's supposed to be with us. We're submitted to God and his will for our lives. And we go into the Word of God and we yoke up with that. And I'm telling you, you and God, you know, you're a majority and it multiplies the effect. You know, when you're married and you pray with your spouse, it's got a multiplication effect. What's the Bible say? One sends 1,000, two sends 10,000. It's 10 times as strong. Amen. And that's where it's so important, where two walk together, you know, except they be agreed, you know, unity, all of this stuff, we need to be yoked together and we need to first and foremost be yoked to Jesus. Amen? Amen. So meekness and humility, a lot of times those words get used interchangeably. They're not the exact same thing. Here's the difference. Humility is our attitude about ourselves. And I've said this before, humility is not this. It's not thinking less of yourself, like I'm a loser and I'm no good and whatever, and thinking less of yourself. No, it's thinking of yourself less. right? So it's esteeming others, you know, and coming in humility and not coming in and boasting and bragging about the things that you've done and whatnot. You come in humility. So again, humility is how you think or your attitude about yourselves, where meekness is our attitude or how we think about others. So it has to do more with relationships. Remember always, what do we talk about? Love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors as if yourself, right? Relationships. That's the key to life. I mean, that's the thing always is Jesus is always talking about how do we get along with one another, and he's showing us here. So again, meekness is our attitude about others. Now, the opposite of meekness. Again, nobody in here like this, but it's the word harsh. So think about this, harsh, being too hasty in word and deed. Do you know anybody that's too hasty? They've got a hair trigger that when something sets them off and they're just gonna give the other person a piece of their mind, they're too hasty in word or deed. That's the opposite of being meek. So again, you think about Jesus, you know, he was persecuted many times, but most of the time he kept his mouth shut. Amen? There's a time to talk and a time to listen and a time to keep our mouth shut. God gave us two ears and one mouth. My science teacher in like fourth grade taught me that, and I'll never forget it. Great life lesson. Amen. So a harsh person speaks and acts before they've thought about it. It's just, again, they got a hair trigger. It's their knee-jerk reaction. And one of the consequences is that they say and do things that they soon regret. The harsh person lacks meekness. Why is that? Again, because the consequences of having that hair triggers that they say and do things that they regret soon after. So you see how this has to do with relationships? You know, you think about behind the four walls. That's your number one ministry to your spouse, your kids, you know, all of that. And if you don't operate in meekness and you're flying off the handle all the time, you know, that's what your kids are going to learn, and then that's what they're going to go out and do. And they're not going to only do what you did. They're going to do more of what you did. Now, if you're a meek person and you can bridle your tongue, they're going to do more of that as well. Amen? Because it's going to be multiplied. The seed that's sown doesn't come back, you know, one for one. It comes back multiplied. Amen? Which is, it can work in both ways. Again, reaping and or sowing and reaping. Another definition, I like this one a lot better for meekness, is strength under control or power under control. And you think about Jesus, he really exemplified that. So I'll use this example. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26, and we'll pick it up in verse 47 there. We're looking at Jesus with again, this power under control, showing how it's not weakness here. So in this context, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows that his time's running short, that Judas is going to betray him, and he's in the garden, and he's praying with his disciples, and his disciples fall asleep, and you know he goes and rebukes them. He's like, can't you just, you know, stand with me for a little bit? And he comes back to him three different times, and what does he say to God? He says, you know, if it be possible, if there's any other way, you know, to take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will be done, but let your will be done. That's yielding, that's submissive, that's meekness right there. That's a great example of it. So again, we pick it up here in verse 47 of Matthew 26, it says this, and even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests and elders of the people. Verse 48 says, the traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal. You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. You know the old saying, he was betrayed with a kiss. Verse 49, it says, so Judas came straight to Jesus. Greetings, Rabbi. Another version says, Master. You know, he certainly wasn't treating him as his master here, was he? But he says, greetings, Rabbi, he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Verse 50, it says, Jesus said, my friend, go ahead and do what you have come for. Say meekness. Meekness. That is meekness right there. The very one that's coming to betray him, what does Jesus call him? He calls him my friend. You know, I mean, what would we do? Maybe punch him in the nose or do something like that? Or let's read on. Let's see what Peter did here. It says, then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. But one of the men with Jesus, this is Peter, pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. Say harsh. Harsh. See, Peter was harsh. He hadn't developed this fruit of meekness in his life yet. Verse 52, it says, put away your sword, Jesus told him. Those who use the sword will die by the sword. Again, the saying, live by the sword, die by the sword. 53, it says, don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly. But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that described what must happen now? See, Jesus was submitted. He was about his Father's business, even to the death on the cross. Amen? Again, this word meekness. Jesus had the power, remember, power under control. He had the power to call legions or thousands of angels to protect them and get them out of the situation. You know, when he was crucified on the cross, he still had that same power. Imagine that. Imagine the suffering. I mean, we can't even fathom it. The suffering he went through, and he had the ability to just speak a word, and thousands of angels would have come down and rescued him. I'm telling you what, talk about temptation, but that's meekness. Amen? And the same Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus lives in you and I. Amen? And that's where that fruit is developed from, is from the Holy Spirit that lives in us. It says Jesus, he was mistreated and wronged numerous times, and again, he could have done something about it. But what did he do? He waited on God's timing for God to vindicate the situation. Matthew chapter 27, listen to this. It's another example of him and meekness. In verse 12, he says, and while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. He didn't speak a word. He could have defended himself. He wasn't guilty. He didn't do anything wrong. Verse 13, it says, then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. It's interesting here. When we act in line with the character of God and have the values that God has and act in line with the kingdom of God, people take notice in our lives. What did it say here? The governor marveled greatly. He couldn't believe that this guy wasn't defending himself. Everybody else that came up, I'm sure they pled their case. They didn't want to get crucified and whatnot, so they just tried to talk their way out of it. But again, Jesus had strength or power under control. He didn't speak a word. And it's the same way in our own lives. You know, there's a time to speak up, but there's also a time to be silent. And you've got to be led by the Spirit with that. And I'm telling you, when you can bridle your tongue and not speak out, even when you were wronged in some way, I'm telling you, that's strength or power under control. And guess what? The people around you will take notice. When you're at your workplace and everybody's running their mouth about what the boss should do and shouldn't do and what the corporation should and shouldn't do, and you peel yourself off from that situation, you don't feed into it, eventually they're going to start watching you. You know, I tell my boys all the time, I'm like, hey, if the crowd is doing it, you better be away from the crowd because the crowd is typically wrong. Amen? Meekness is not an attribute of the worldly kingdom. It's an attribute of God's kingdom. Amen? And a lot of times, it doesn't make sense. I was hoping I didn't have enough time to tell this story, but I do. Tell you a story about meekness in my own life. So it was probably less than a year ago or so. It was last summer. I know when it was. So just the crazy road construction that we had in Sioux Falls. And Melissa and I would complain about it. Like, you know, they work on a block, but it's like six blocks ahead. They've got, you know, the cones set up and whatnot. Well, anyway, we live out on the west side of Sioux Falls. So I was going close to Memorial and, driving down the road, nothing crazy. And this motorcycle pulls out in front of me and he perceived that I like sped up, you know, real close up behind him. And so now there's one lane of traffic and we're at the stoplight of 26 and Saratoga out there. And I mean, this guy was harsh. Let's just put it that way. He's literally like, he's probably in his early 60s driving a motorcycle that was probably from the late 70s, early 80s or whatnot. And he's literally looking in his rearview mirror at me right behind him, again, thinking that I sped up on him. And he's you know, doing one of these, like, slow it down, you know, as we're at the stoplight. And then he's starting to use sign language, which I won't use the sign language that he used towards me. And then he starts speaking out and interpreting the sign language that he was using towards me. And I'm telling you, he was just getting madder and madder and madder, just harsh here. And I'm just kind of sitting there, you know, trying not to look at him a whole lot. I'm like, okay, this guy's obviously off a little bit, so I'm just going to, you know, try to avoid it. You know, I could see it's like one of these Facebook videos where he's going to get off his bike and start punching my window, you know, and man, I work at a church. I mean, you know, I can't be having this stuff. So I'm trying to practice meekness here. And so we get up a little ways further and we get stopped again at the same light. You know, once again, he's just getting more, I don't know what he wants me to do. He's just getting more and more amped up with this. Well, then we get up to the light, and of course, he does one of those, you know, when you go real slow until it gets yellow, so then he makes me hit the red. Well, little does he know that I've got an Infiniti with 300 horses, and, you know, I flipped it up to the sport mode and shifted it over into manual and down it, you know, a couple gears, and I comfortably sped up around him, you know, just to get safely out of the way ahead of him, and that caught him by surprise. Well, now we're into this thing. Of course, okay? Not meekness. And you know, heart's beating. I mean, I'm even beating a little bit now telling you, because it's bringing back the adrenaline and whatnot. And, you know, so I sped up. Well, then, you know, it's two lane, or, you know, it's actually, you know, one lane with kind of the middle yellow lane that you're not supposed to cross. Of course, he crossed that and passed me up by there. And then I'm like, okay, Randy, you got to get this under control, because this is escalating very quickly, and what are you going to do here? So, of course, I end up pulling off into a side street, you know, calming myself down, exhibiting meekness, amen? And I'm telling you, it was tough. I'm just telling you that story because we're all human beings. We all have a situation where I was in the right. This guy was dead wrong, amen? But again, what am I going to go do? Am I going to go prove this to him? And what kind of example is that to my wife and my three boys that are home if dad comes home with bloody knuckles? I mean, I'm almost 49 years old. I haven't been in a fight in years. You know, not going to happen, amen? And I did the right thing, so just so you know. But I passed the test, but it wasn't easy. I'm telling you what, you talk about a messenger from Satan. And I got to pray for that guy and continue to do so. But meekness, amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5 in the Message, it says it this way as we're kind of wrapping this up. It says, you're blessed when you're content with just who you are. Think about that. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. That's the definition of meekness. Blessed when you're content with just who you are. You know, so many times we get into this thing. You want to hand me that white towel? We get into this thing where we compare ourselves to other people. Thank you. Get the sweat on here a little bit. We compare ourselves to other people, and what ends up happening then, right? We compare our weaknesses to their strengths. And we need to be content with the giftings and the talents that God has given to us. The Bible says that your gifts will make room for you. Amen. And they'll bring you before great men. Just stay in your lane. Amen. Figure out what God has gifted you with and what he's called you to be, and be content with that. And, you know, like Travis, developing a sales skill. Become world class at whatever that is, and that gift will make room for you. I'm telling you. Instead of looking at what everybody else is doing, and that's where most unhappiness comes from, right? It's looking onto other people. It's being unhappy with who we are. And God doesn't make any mistakes. Amen. He created you for a plan and a purpose, and he gave you those gifts and talents for a reason. And listen, the body of Christ, us as a body, we cannot go forward if everybody's not doing what it is that they were gifted and called to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. Another thing, contentment, it doesn't mean that you're simply satisfied to the point where you never want to change. You know, it doesn't mean, hey, it's just the status quo and we just, you know, que sera, sera, and what will be. No, we want to grow spiritually constantly. I mean, that's why you're the Wednesday night crowd, right? That's why you're here, because it's every time you come, you grow just a little bit, a little in your relationship with God, a little bit in your relation or your knowledge of the Word of God. And you know, week after week, month after month, year after year, boy, then you end up looking behind you and it's just amazing at how far you've come. Amen? Amen? Just continue to grow and not be content, or be content, but again, keep that growth process. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, it says this. He says, I am the least of the apostles. This is the apostle Paul talking, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was within me. That's contentment, which leads to meekness. Amen? He was persecuting Christians. And what did he say? He said, but by the grace of God. I only am at where I'm at by the grace of God. And that's how it is in our lives as well. The same grace that was working in Paul to go from persecuting Christians to writing over 2/3 of the New Testament, that same grace is working in your life. And it's working in mine as well. Amen? So what do we do with this message? What do we do with this thing called meekness? Well, what have we've been talking about the past few months? Examining our hearts. You know, when you hear this, when you hear about meekness, about strength under control, about power under control, about, you know, not having a you know, hair trigger. You know, how are you doing in those areas? And if it needs growth and work, then you work on it. You take it to God, and you take it to prayer, and you cast those cares on Him. And guess what? When you hand over what you're battling with, He'll put meekness on you, and you know, He'll put a check in you. So when somebody like that motorcycle guy with me, when that happens in your life, you won't rev past him. You'll stay back, and you'll pull off even sooner. Amen. I'm a work in progress, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning services at 8:30 and 10:30. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.